The following sermon was delivered at the 10:30 worship service at the United Methodist Church of Kent. Please enjoy.
The sermon this morning is the conclusion of a sermon series on the true spirit of Christmas. Let's be for a moment in the spirit of prayer. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. It is the last Sunday of the year, and the end of the year is always a time of looking back and taking stock of the months past. It has been a tumultuous year. It's been a year of political turbulence, starting with January 6th and continuing through endless political wranglings. It's been a year of economic uncertainty, with the economy trying to surge, but running aground on supply chain issues and a sheer lack of workers. It has been a year of pandemic, where we started deep in the pandemic, then seemed to be making great progress, but we have not been able to escape the grip and trauma of the virus. You might find similar significant ups and downs when you look at your own personal life. In reviewing the past, we seldom find that it has been smooth or perfect. In the Old Testament passage we heard this morning, the top spiritual leader in Israel at the time, Ezra, looked back at Israel's past, not just the past year, but the past millennium and a half from his standpoint in the 5th century BC. He started with Abraham and continued through the Exodus and then through subsequent vast expanses of time. He noticed a recurring pattern. In every age, God led the people with great power and love. But the people were fickle. They often forgot God and turned from God and strayed from right ways into foolishness and wrong. As Ezra put it, they were disobedient and rebelled against you, O God, and cast your law behind their backs and killed your prophets who had warned them in order to turn them back to you, and they committed great blasphemies. As a result of their spiritual waywardness, the people often ended up in a mess. Then they often would call upon God for help, and God repeatedly helped them. As Ezra said, in the time of their suffering, they cried out to you, O God, and you heard them from heaven. But as soon as circumstances improved, the people would typically forget God again. As Ezra went on to say, but after the people had rest, they again did evil before you, O God, and you warned them in order to turn them back to your law. Yet they act presumptuously and did not obey your commandments. They turned a stubborn shoulder. That kind of history has continued throughout time. People often depart from God's goodness and ignore God's call and engage in all sorts of foolishness and wrong. And even when they experience God's mercy and blessing, often people take it all for granted and turn further away. But as Ezra recalls all this history, he notices that while people so often are unsteady in their commitment to God, God remains steadfast. As Ezra put it, nevertheless, O God, in your great mercies, you did not make an end of them or forsake them, for you are a gracious and merciful God. The central theological insight of Ezra is that God is a God who never gives up. No matter how foolishly or how wrongly people at times may behave, no matter how oblivious people at times may be to God, God never writes us off, but continues to reach to humanity with grace. The climax of this in the biblical story is the coming of Jesus Christ, who brings salvation to human beings, even though human beings are quite undeserving. Jesus is the supreme expression of the truth that God is a gracious and merciful God. At the end of recounting the whole story of the people of Israel, Ezra invited the people who were gathered with him in Jerusalem to make a fresh beginning. He led them into a service of affirming and renewing their covenant with God. A covenant is a mutual commitment, and the Bible records a series of divine covenants. There was the covenant God made with Abraham, where God promised to make of Abraham's descendants a great nation that, through which the whole world would be blessed. And Abraham responded by following as God led him. There was the covenant with Moses, where God promised to lead the people in righteousness and to bless them with abundance, and the people were to respond by being obedient to God's commandments. There would be the covenant through Jesus, where God would promise to bring people into fullness of life now and life everlasting, and people were called to respond in faith. In every case, God was always faithful. Ezra thus addressed God as the great and mighty and awesome God, keeping covenant and steadfast love. But a covenant only really works when both sides are faithful, and on the human side of the covenant, people quite often have stumbled and fallen away from God. The good news, however, is what Ezra declared when he said to the Lord, "You are a God ready to forgive, gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love." Ezra invited the people in the end to turn afresh to God, to open themselves to God's mercy, and to renew their covenant with God, that they might experience God's forgiveness and God's steadfast love that would lead them anew in life. The people responded in a great service of worship, in which they renewed their covenant with God, and they actually signed a document as an expression of their commitment. The heart of their covenant renewal was the promise to walk in God's law and observe and do all the commandments of the Lord our God. They then listed specific things that they promised to do. They committed themselves, for example, to bring regular offerings to the temple in accordance with the tithing commandments of the Old Testament. There followed a major period of spiritual renewal in the life of Israel. Today, we are invited to make the same basic spiritual movement that the people of Israel made under Ezra. Just as they engaged in a major festival of worship to renew their covenant with God, we are having a service of covenant renewal as a part of our worship this morning, which provides an opportunity for us to renew our own personal covenant with God. The service we are using this morning is based upon a covenant renewal service designed by our Methodist founder, John Wesley. Wesley encouraged Methodists to start each new year by renewing their covenant with God. And so a part of our tradition in our church is to have a covenant renewal as a part of our worship on the last Sunday of the year, right before each new year. Ezra looked over the past, considering how the people had sinned and fallen short of God. In the covenant renewal service, we consider how we may have gotten off track, and we confess our sin before God. At the same time, Ezra recognized the wondrous mercy of God, and in the covenant renewal service, we open ourselves to God's forgiveness, recognizing the complete forgiveness that is now available to us through Jesus Christ, by which we are restored to a right relationship with God. Ezra then led the people to affirm their ongoing commitment to God, and the covenant renewal service concludes with a prayer in which we can affirm our own personal commitment to God. In every age, God is faithful, and while people so often are inclined to forget God, the way to connect with God's blessing is by being attentive to God and receptive to God's grace, affirming the covenant that God has established with us. A prime example of this was provided in the story we heard from the New Testament this morning about Simeon. When Jesus was born, most people were oblivious to what God was doing, but Simeon was attuned to God in faith. He was in the temple when Mary and Joseph arrived with the infant Jesus several days after Jesus' birth. Simeon took the infant Jesus in his arms and praised God, saying, "My eyes have seen your salvation." Today, we can join with Simeon to affirm what God has done for us in Christ, and to lift our own hearts to God in faith and praise. Let us pray. Eternal God, you are ever faithful. You never give up on us. Even when we stumble and stray, even when we forget you, even when we turn away, you continue to reach to us with grace. You have acted in Jesus Christ to bring us salvation, to lift us out of sin, out of death itself, into life now with you and life forever in your kingdom. Lord, inspire us this morning to recognize how you are here with us today, reaching to our lives with grace. Lord, that we might receive your forgiveness in our own hearts, that we might open ourselves to the renewing and uplifting power of your Spirit, that we might be drawn afresh, O Lord, into a walk with you in which we can truly live as your people, sharing in your grace today and being a part of how you can work through us to bring your goodness to our world. Guide us this morning, O Lord, as we would respond on our side of the covenant to affirm, to renew our commitment to you. Lord, we thank you that you draw us into fellowship with you and into fellowship with one another, that you draw us into the life of your church, where we can grow together in faith and reach out effectively in mission. We do lift up persons in our church fellowship who are in times of particular need. We remember those who are in times of illness. We think of all persons who are struggling with COVID. And we remember especially in our church, Helen McGrew, who's in the hospital, and pray for all in times of illness, praying, Lord, for your healing power. We also remember those who are mourning, and we lift up especially today Sue Harvey and family upon the death of her sister, Ruth Ann Watts. We pray for the comfort of your Spirit and the assurance of your promises. We thank you, Lord, for the fellowship that we have with one another. We thank you we're connected in the larger church, and lift up especially this morning our fellow United Methodists at the Orville Trinity United Methodist Church. Lord, guide us as we would be receptive to your power and join in how we can be a part of your works in our time. Lead us, Lord, in this hour as we consider your faithfulness to us and as we respond by lifting our hearts to you in commitment and praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this edition of the United Methodist Church of Kent Sermon Podcast. For more information about the church, visit www.kentmethodist.org.